We are live. Welcome back to another Monday Madness. I'm your host, James, and joining me as always is my not so good looking friend Alan. What's going on?
Yeah! Fuck your life.
Fuck your life. Bing bong. Bing bong.
What's up, everybody?
Super excited to be here for another Monday. Lots of happenings over the weekend, lots to talk about. You know, Martha's Vineyard is the gift that keeps on giving. It's truly amazing to watch. Before we get into that, shout out to our sponsors, Patriot Cigar Company.
Go the best to cigars.
My Patriot Cigar. Wait, where is it? Hold on.
MyPatriotCigars.com.
Where is it? Here we go. I'm trying to drag it over to my screen. There we go. MyPatriotCigar.com, code WPRUSA for 15% off. Pick up the Hellfire, the TNT, the Mark 48, or the Moab. These cigars are amazing. Mine should be here any day now. I cannot fucking wait. I've been looking forward to these for a while now. So go to MyPatriotCigar.com if you're a cigar smoker. These are definitely a cigar that you're going to truly enjoy. Sample packs are coming soon if you want to try one of all. Pick up a 5-pack or pick up a box. Go to MyPatriotCigar.com. MyPatriotCigars.com, code WPRUSA for 15% off. Also, can't forget Kush Creams, number one topical in the game, 21-time Cannabis Cup Award winning, the best topical I have ever used. Pain cream, regular lotion, face cream, shampoos, they have it all. Go to KushCreams.com, code WPRUSA for 15% off, or Great 1776 for 15% off. Can't forget Sirius CBD, the number one CBD on the planet. Go to Sirius-CBD.com. Pick up yours today. Me and Marley Dog use it every day. That stuff is amazing. And Mikey Pillows, gotta love those guys. Join the Mikey Pillow gang at mypillow.com/great1776 or mypillow.com/WPRUSA. Get all your Giza sheets, slippers, chancletas, all your MyPillow needs and my store needs as well. Go pick those up today. And the last thing is October 2nd, coming up fast. If you're in the Vegas area, come hang out and ride out with us on the Memorial bike ride for our good friend, fellow Patriot, Justin Anders, the host of Cannabis and Combat. As you can see, I got a nice little Cannabis and Combat logo sign behind me now on the wall. Very excited to have that. It's an honor to represent Cannabis and Combat on our shows every week. But come and hang out. We roll out at 420. If you're in the Las Vegas area, you want to fly out, it's definitely going to be an event you don't want to miss. Come out October 2nd. Now, that all of that is out of the way. Paying the bills.
You know, you just so we can hold on. We
and can once smoke, again, we can, asking we can, for your financial support.
We could smoke cigars, and then we can lather ourselves in Kush creams.
Yep.
Then we can take some CBD, right? Gummies,
we can do droppers, whatever we want to do. We got options.
And then with Mikey Lindell's wonderful pillows, we can lay down and go to sleep.
Or have a pillow fight. We can lather up in Kush creams, like have Jello wrestling, but with Kush creams.
Do you know how I know you're gay?
But no, because I want to Jello wrestle in Kush creams, and I'll beat the shit out of your little ass. Why are you? It's Monday. We're starting out hot, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we do over here.
They buried the queen today.
Oh yes, rest in peace to the queen. Is this on here? Hold on. Did you see that? Did you see this? Yeah. Did you see this, Alan?
Oh my god.
I hope this is how she's spending her time in hell.
Oh my god.
You're snarious.
Look at her face.
I can't.
I can meme sometimes. I
can
do
a meme sometimes. I can, you know.
But that's what I hope that bitch is living through for the rest of eternity. Every morning, every night, she just gets a pineapple shoved spines first up her fucking ass.
Spines first.
Yeah, spines first.
I'm on the side of the royal family is evil globalists, and I really, you know, they wasted a week of valuable time for Americans to, I'm sorry, but not for nothing. If you're an American and you're grieving over the queen, you're an idiot. How many followers am I going to lose for that? Last time I talked shit about the queen, I lost about 50, gained about 200. I don't care. Unapologetic. I do not care. Not
fucking care.
I love the people that were announcing, I'm unfollowing your page. It's not a fucking airport. You don't have to announce your departures and arrivals. I don't care.
Those are my favorite people in the world, Alan. Those people that are coming to your page, they think that I give a shit that they follow me. Like, I don't fucking care.
Make no mistake. I love my followers because they're all heavily engaged. Mm-hmm. They're great. They're always commenting. They're in the live chats. And they're always sharing everything. Like, I hate saying I'm blessed because I'm not really religious, but I'm fortunate that I have all these people that are, you know, looking at me and going, hey, look at this idiot. We're gonna check him out. We're gonna follow his page. We're gonna watch his show. No, but seriously. And you know, yeah, we have show sponsors and stuff, and it helps keep the lights on. But I always say the most valuable thing you can do is hit share and just share our content and information. That's the most valuable thing to me.
The message is so important. What we're talking about, the topics that we discuss, we may be all over the place sometimes. We may get a little vulgar and a little wild, especially on our Friday show. But the topic and the substance of the information is what's important. It doesn't matter if it's coming from us or it comes from any of the other great podcasts or great content creators out there, because there's so many. You can check them all out at Patriot Podcast Network exclusively on Roku TV. Another quick little plug.
That's right. If you have a Roku device or a Roku compatible smart TV, go over and download the Patriot Podcast Network. Just search. It'll show up. I think it's like 25 shows on there. There are other shows that I'm waiting to get back to me that I want to get on there. There's a few. We're going to be adding more shows. So
yeah, there's already a ton of great shows on there. Like, there's so many, like Steaks for Breakfast, Sergeant Samurai, White Rabbit, Two Doomed Men, Orange Man Bad. There's so many great shows, and I'm sure I missed a whole bunch. But it's a great network. There's great patriots on there that are fighting the good fight. Not everybody's talking about the same thing. Me and Alan, we don't agree on everything, and we do two shows a week, and we go back and forth. So you can get a different perspectives from everybody.
I'm always right. James is always wrong. I mean,
shut the fuck up.
Yeah, here we go.
You're a stupid cunt. Suck my dick.
And hold on, because I have the boys from these guys are great. I think they have the Motor Cop Chronicles podcast. Right? They follow me. They actually I just get them a promo code for Patriot Cigars, and I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. I know either one or all of you, they're motorcycle cops in Louisiana. And it's cool because he does lives like when he's on his bike and like you see his camera, the camera's like hooked up to his motorcycle. So he's live streaming on YouTube while he's on his police bike. It's wild. He just asked in the chat, I you can email me. You know, you have my email and I'll put the Motor Cop Chronicles podcast on the Patriot Podcast Network. 100%. You're already in. Just email me. We'll set it up. Yeah,
well,
it's Monday.
Now that we know that the queen has been buried and she's no longer haunting us on this fucking earth.
I don't think they buried her.
No, she's been dead for a while. I truly believe that. She's been dead for a long, long time.
She's been dead. She's been in the attic of Buckingham Palace and Prince Charles has been up there like putting, you know, newspaper on her
fucking her, those sick fucks
like psycho Great Britain edition.
Prince Charles is good friends with Jimmy Savile and they hung out all the time, and Prince Andrew's good friends with Jeffrey Epstein, like flocks of a bird. You know, same thing we talk about Justin Trudeau, is same thing. He six of his friends have been arrested and sentenced for pedophilia and convicted. Like, you're a product of your five closest friends. And this is something that we see all the time. And you want to say that they're not sick and evil, twisted people. Did you see Joey Bag of Donuts on 60 Minutes? Have you seen this yet, Alan?
I saw some of it. Yeah. I wanted to get into that a little bit.
So let's get into it. Cause I have here, according to him,
Mr. President, first Detroit Auto Show in 3 years.
Yeah.
Is the pandemic over?
The pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work.
It's over.
I think he didn't mean to say that.
The pandemic is over. If you notice, no one's wearing masks. Everybody seems to be in pretty good shape. And so I think it's changing. And I think this is a perfect example of it.
Well, here's the thing. I'd agree with you, but there's no way 60 Minutes is airing it if he wasn't supposed to say it.
Yeah.
You know how these people operate. So right. Who is supposed to say that? I just don't know.
Well, if
that was
it, if the COVID if COVID is over, then you don't need the executive order for emergency powers anymore.
Well, no, they just announced about the jab that it's no longer they're going to start FDA sending the jabs through the FDA, the proper channels for proper testing, and they're no longer using the emergency use authorization. They're stopping that immediately. Which is very interesting. It's very, very interesting. And then you have this is my favorite part of the interview. And I wanted to talk about him saying the pandemic is over, as much as we've known for ever that it's been over. And we never really thought there was a pandemic to begin with. It's really hilarious to see him say it. So now all the sheep that still pay attention to what this clown says can be like, oh yeah, it's over. So now anybody says, oh, COVID's here, you can send them that video clip and be right. Like, hey, no, according to the president of the United States, who you guys listen to, you know, these crazy people.
Is that the same car show that he was like drooling over the gas powered Corvette?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised. It's the Detroit Motor Show. I wouldn't be surprised. But he was asked by the guy doing the interview in 60 Minutes about his mental state. And I thought, did you see this, Alan? This is quite possibly one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Because we all know his cognitive function is not all there. We all know the guy is losing it. And his answer just further shows this. So this is what Joey Bag of Donuts answers.
Mr. President, you are the oldest president ever.
Pretty good shape, huh?
Which leads to my next question. You are more aware of this than anyone. Some people ask whether you are fit for the job. And when you hear that, I wonder what you think.
Watch me. I mean, honest to God, that's all I say. Watch me. If you think of the energy level or the mental acuity, then you know, that's one thing. It's another thing of just watching and, you know, keep my schedule.
Okay.
Do what I'm doing. I think that
nap time.
You know, I don't, when I sit down with our NATO allies and keep them together, I don't have them saying, wait a minute, how old are you? What are you? What did you say? You know, it's a matter of.
Wait. So this guy is talking to our NATO allies and he's like, oh, these guys must be wondering how young I am because I'm commanding all of them. Joe Biden,
you're wondering if you shit your own bowel
movements. He's not even commanding his own bowel movements, let alone the NATO allies that are all pieces of shit and robbed America blind for years.
He falls asleep at every summit there is.
Shit winds are coming.
So it gets even better, Alan. It gets even better. Ready?
You know, that old expression, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. I mean,
what? Wait a minute.
He asked a question about his cognitive function, and this is his response.
That
proof is in the pudding
is in the eating. Isn't it the proof is in the pudding?
That's it.
You should have ended it there. That's the proof. The proof
of the pudding is in the eating.
The proof of the pudding is in the eating. What does that mean?
Because he probably eats a lot of pudding with his fucking demented brain. Can't put down solids anymore. A lot of pudding eating for this guy.
The pudding is in the eating. What does the eating of the pudding have to do with the proof? Wow.
Listen to this. I'm running it back.
Watch and you know, keep my schedule. Do what I'm doing. I think that... you know, I don't, when I sit down with our NATO allies and keep them together, I don't have them saying, wait a minute, how old are you? What are you, what did you say? You know, I mean, it's a matter of, you know, that old expression, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. I mean, I respect the fact that people would say, you know, you're old. And, but I think it relates to how much energy you have and whether or not the job you're doing is one consistent with what any person of any age would be able to do.
How would you say your mental focus is?
Oh, it's focused. I have trouble even mentioning, even saying to myself, my own head, the number of years. I no more think of myself as being as old as I am than fly. I mean, it's just not, I haven't observed anything in terms of, there's not things I don't do now that I did before, whether it's physical or mental or anything else.
What the fuck did he say, and what was he attempting to say?
I don't know. You never know.
I count the years, I'm as many years as a fly, and I could do things that I did before that I could do now, and doesn't matter my, like, what is going on? Like, that question, Alan, was about his mental acuity.
I know. I'd hate to say it because I just went on the Google machine, and there actually is a phrase, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. It actually exists. It's the real value of something can be judged only from practical experience or results and not from appearance or theory. It's a proverb. It back in the 1600s.
So that just further dates how old this fucking clown is. Second.
Well, remember, he was in the Senate for what, 175 years? I think he said something like
forever. But like the very end of this conversation.
Well, focus is.
Oh, it's focused.
It's focused.
I haven't, look, I have trouble even mentioning, even saying to myself, my own head, the number of years. I no more think of myself as being as old as I am than fly. I mean, it's just
What?
I haven't observed anything in terms of, there's not things I don't do now that I did before, whether it's physical or mental or anything else.
His brain is pudding.
What did he try to say? Like, what was his goal in that sentence? Like, I can't even like jumble words together to finish it and make sense of that because it was so all over the place. And I have no fucking idea what this guy is trying to say.
I mean, there has to be a group of people that are like on in his administration at this point. Like,
there's gotta be a group of people that watch this and we're like, we can't let this air. We cannot let this air.
Yeah, but they let it air every time. I mean, every time it's something different. The guy can't do an interview, a press conference, a speech, anything without just becoming a moron, like just speaking like an idiot.
It's sad. It's embarrassing. And I have no love lost for Joey Bag of Donuts, that kid sniffing piece of shit. But how can anybody watch that and be like, yeah, that guy's doing a great job. He's a strong leader.
It's crazy because it's like that there are actually people that do think he's doing a good job, that he is this uniter, that like they'll use the typical talking points like gas prices are plummeting now and unemployment is at an all-time low because they're deceived by the lying charts and graphs. When he didn't create new jobs. People went back to work after the scamdemic, after governments closed down and destroyed businesses. Like, those aren't new jobs.
And not just that, gas is plummeting because you're artificially making it stay low because you're using our reserves that Donald Trump topped off. And as soon as the midterms are over, I take it to the bank now, gas is going to hit numbers that we have never thought possible.
We're going to get hit with a hammer after the midterms. They're going to be like, all right, fuck them now.
Hammer. No, not just fuck them now. It's also because I truly believe, we cannot take this lightly and just, oh, we have enough people, I don't need to go out and vote. We have to get out and vote. But I truly believe we're going to overwhelm them. I truly believe that the October decision with the Supreme Court that we talk about every single week is going to make a big difference. I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them to use all of the pieces of ammo that they used in the 2020 election in this 2022 midterm. And then factoring all the people that we now have on our voter base that are voting.
I hope so. Let's just say,
I know, Alan, you're a negative Nancy.
I'm not. No, it's not being negative. It's being fucking realistic that people can't be cocky.
No, we can't. No, absolutely.
There are still people that have this fucking attitude that they are like.
But do you ask those people that are cocky, are you still going to go out and vote? And if they're cocky and they still go out and vote, then let them be cocky. As long as they're still going out to vote and they're still going out to do their civil duty, it doesn't matter how they feel, as long as they do what they say they're going to do. And they don't let that cockiness take, you know what, there's more than enough. I don't need to go. We have to learn from our mistakes. Never and we have enough. To know that they're going to use everything that they possibly can to rig it. And I think we're seeing that. Liz Cheney lost by like 60, 70 points. It's not even close. And I really think, and that's in a primary, which Republicans normally don't even show up for. So it gives me a lot of hope. So let's just say we win in 2022. We win big. Let's just say, okay, what do you think they're going to retaliate with? They're going to hit us with these high gas prices and they're going to blame it on the Republican majority. I mean, the Republicans got in, they took over. And that's exactly what they're going to do. It's a failsafe for them. I guarantee that's what the media headlines are going to be. Oh, the Republicans got in and they immediately started skyrocketing oil prices and this, that, or the other. Yeah. That's what they're planning to do. Because I think they see the writing on the wall as well. I really do. Thank you, Alan. We have another Alan Getcher said, hashtag Pedo Hitler, great show.
How did you spell his name?
A-L-L-A-N.
Oh, you're spelling it wrong, man. Drop the L. A-L-A-N. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
How dare you?
But I think that's going to be something that they're going to use. It's a talking point that they're going to use post-2022 midterms, and they're going to immediately blame it on the Republican majority and the Republicans that have taken –
It makes sense. You know what else I think?
What else do you think, Alan?
I was having a conversation.
How you're gay?
Yeah. Besides that. Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
I believe the Democrats are actually extremely happy that Roe v. Wade was struck down because of the amount of fundraising that they've been doing because of it.
Oh, yeah. And so, again, Alan, I agree with you. I agree with you. But I then immediately start questioning the fundraising, because we know that they funnel money, that dark money that's not supposed to go to these campaigns. Like, for example, perfect example. During the George Floyd riots, and they had everybody donate money to Act Blue. Mm-hmm. They emotionally got everybody donating money to the company Act Blue. And you look at Act Blue and where that money is going to, is went to Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden.
Absolutely. The Democratic Party.
So they take a lot of this money that is not supposed, and they use these emotional things to attach people. So they probably had what they did. I guarantee this is what they did. And I would love to look a little deeper into this, but they probably had funds to help fight against Roe v. Wade that was under the Roe v. Wade fight, but it got funneled to the Democrat Party.
Well, No. What I mean is, and yes, but also because the Republicans do it too.
Oh, I'm not, of course.
So what I mean is, let's just take, I don't know, pick a Democrat, any Democrat, whatever. Democrat shithead.
Jerry Nadler, I shit my pants Nadler.
Yeah, Humpty Dumpty. Sends text messages to phones saying the Republicans are attacking the rights of women. The Republicans are blah, blah, blah. Roe v. Wade, women's rights, women's health care, right to choose, all of this stuff. Please consider donating $10 today to keep Jerry Nadler in the fight. Now, that is a huge, huge, huge fundraising opportunity for Democrats, just like when the Mar-a-Lago raid happened.
Oh, I got a bunch of texts.
I was getting text messages from the one pack that he's attached to. I was getting text messages from Ron DeSantis, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Andy Biggs, all of them, Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and my phone lights up all day, every day with these campaign things. And all the same stuff. It's, hey, the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago. The FBI is weaponized. Donate, I think $17.76. Donate $13.50. Donate this one. I have until
I get them all the time.
Right, and the other one they're, you know, it's the same thing, like, you know, with the firearms clubs. Hey, they're coming after our Second Amendment. And I get it because, let's face it, I'm not saying it's a bad thing because you're not winning elections without money. Now, you can try to run a campaign and grassroots fundraise, not take money from certain people, and grassroots is very difficult. And if you are raising a decent amount of money, well, then you have to spend that money the right way. Like, there are candidates that I thought should have won, like Laura Loomer in Florida. She, I believe, raised $800,000 in her campaign. She didn't spend it right. She didn't spend any money on voter contact media. Okay. It's just money. You need the money. Mm-hmm. But again, you're going to fundraise on the issues. But in this case with Roe v. Wade, how they'll turn around and they'll say, oh my God, this is horrible. This is an attack on women. But then they see this as a big opportunity to fundraise, a huge opportunity to fundraise.
Well, look at Gavin McGinnis. He just got caught doing this. Owen Benjamin called him out. He got caught staging an FBI raid so he can get people to buy whatever he was.
That's right. That's right. He's the founder of the Oath Keepers, right?
He also helped start Vice, and he's got a detailed resume for sure.
Right. I remember seeing that, and he made it look like the FBI was showing up, and then those text messages leaked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a scam, right? Nobody raided him.
No, it was all to get people to buy whatever he was grifting. And Owen Benjamin called him out, which was hilarious. It was great to watch unfold. Right. It was hysterical. He was releasing the text message, and Gavin McGinnis got really butthurt about it. This is something that people do, and unfortunately, with what's going on in the climate of today's political world, it immediately makes you skeptical. Like, you hear all these people getting raided, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, buy this, buy that. Like, not saying that this is what Mike Lindell did, but when you see that, you have to question, like, hey, is Mike Lindell just trying to sell us some pillows? I'm not saying that's what he did. I'm just saying that question now arises because some piece of shit people ruin it for the people. It's just like the people that say racism and scream this, that, and the other. Because racism exists, but not on the scale it does. And when people scream racism, it makes the real racists get – it helps the real racists get off.
Who was it? The Daily Beast. And, you know, the leftist rig that they are. Mike Lindell was at the Reawaken tour in Washington State that they just had on the Washington, Idaho border. And they had a picture of Mike Lindell sitting in like the stands on his phone. And they actually did a thing out. They put an article out that says Mike Lindell claimed he got his phone taken by the FBI while he's sitting on his phone. That's how moronic they are. They're so moronic. Like, are you number one? I know for a fact that people who had their doors knocked on by the FBI, who were Trump allies, they all have two or three phones, and they were asking for their work phones. You're telling me Mike Lindell doesn't have two phones? You know, I have three. So, you know, it's so ridiculous. Like, Mike Lindell did a live the day, I think it was that same day or the day after that he got his phone taken, the FBI paperwork. And Mike doesn't need to stage an FBI phone seizure to sell pillows, okay?
No, he doesn't at all. And that's why I started the conversation with, I'm not saying this is what Mike Lindell did, but because of what people like Gavin McGinnis is doing, it makes it more difficult for Mike Lindell, who actually went through it, to fundraise without people raising eyebrows and be like, you know what, he could be faking it. I'm not going to – I would normally donate, but because of what Gavin McGinnis did, I'm not going to donate because people are probably faking it to sell some things. And it's unfortunate because it goes across both parties. It's not just the Democrats that stage things and use emotion to sell things. There's a lot of grifters and shills in the conservative movement that will use an emotional type thing. Just the 2A people, all of them.
Maybe I need to hire six guys dressed in black to kick in my door so I can sell more cigars. Maybe I need to do that.
Yeah, dude, let's SWAT. I'm going to call the SWAT team. Give me your address. I'll call the SWAT team anonymously, and I'm going to have you SWATted live on air, and then we can sell you a fuck ton of cigars.
Right. Like, feel bad for me. They broke the hinges on my door. Buy more cigars, please.
Well,
please.
Apparently there's rumors circulating. There's rumors circulating through Owen Benjamin that Tim Pool was doing it as well. He was continuing it because he would leave his live on, and people would just donate as he's getting SWATted, and just donate. And he'd raise, you know, tens of thousands of dollars through donations while he's getting SWATted.
Yeah, but he didn't SWAT himself. So I mean, you know,
it's very possible that he started doing it after, because he got SWATted so many fucking times.
Like, yeah.
Ridiculous. It was just ridiculous to the point where, like, the SWAT team should have been like, oh, here comes another call for Tim Pool's house. Like, let's just go knock on the door and be like, hey, you were SWATted again. We have to come by law to let you know, but we're not going to go through the whole rigmarole of bringing the whole SWAT team here. You know, it gets a little fishy. And then you have people like Gavin McGinnis, who Tim Pool is sort of friendly with, do what he did. It shines a spotlight. And it makes you think who's actually taking advantage of a shitty situation and who's actually going through it. And,
you know, everybody, this one has a grift. This one has a grift. Listen, everyone has a grift. No matter what it is, but now it's just a matter of how don't lie to people and manipulate people. That's like if you're selling a product and you want people to buy it and you're advertising it, that's fine. That's what advertising's for. That's what media is for. That's what, like, shows like this, you know, they do it, whatever it might be.
I 1000% get it, because this is what we do for a living. Like, this, right. This is what I do for a living. This is what you do for a hobby. But
hold on that. But wait a minute. It has become a tool for me because, all right, like, MyPillow is a sponsor of my show, whatever. We don't get rich off of promo codes and stuff like that, but I have other businesses that has nothing to do with what I do as far as podcasting. So when I was starting the cigar company and we were like, oh, well, listen, I can now use the podcasting world to promote my business, the Patriot Podcast Network to promote my business. Yeah, that's called being an entrepreneur. That's called capitalism. That's called, you know, making money and working hard. Speaking of, and I haven't talked about it publicly, but here's a good grift. So with
Alan's giving reach arounds every weekend, every Sunday. That's his grift.
Yes. Down at the racetrack, the third glory hole is me.
Yep.
I have the pink duct tape around it.
You left too much dead air in there. I had to get you.
Yeah. So with the, you know, affiliate marketing, like a lot of these companies do, hey, you have a promo code. If somebody uses your promo code, you're paying a referral as the business for the promo code, right? Yes. Whatever it might be. So now I start the cigar business and I'm out here trying to look for influencers. And I think I'm close to 100 of them now who have promo codes and things like that. And I have some bigger names like Judge Napolitano, George Papadopoulos, Roger Stone, and there's a few more, right? So I reach out because I know, and I reached out to them because I think your microphone's like super duper because I can hear myself through your headphones again. It's wild. Well,
probably when I go like this, you can
have a back the fuck up from your microphone.
Well, I was when I reached to go hit a button, I got to reach. So like, get fucked.
You're like a 14-year-old with Asperger's. Asperger's, not Asperger's. So I reach out to Sebastian Gorka, who...
Oh yeah, this fucking cuck.
So those of you, I'm not gonna call him a piece of shit. I'm not.
I will because of his stance in 2000 Mules. I called all of those cucks out when they did 2000.
There's a lot of it. All right, so
all of them.
Yes. All right, so I reach out to him knowing he's a big cigar guy like me, and I said, "Hey, Dr. Gorka," and for those of you that don't know him, he was special assistant to the president. He worked in the Department of Defense for Donald Trump. So You know, big Trump ally, has a show on Newsmax, has his other show on Salem Radio, whatever. Big influencer on Instagram. He's everywhere.
Isn't he from England? Too?
I think Australia, actually. I think he might be an Australian accent. So anyway, I said, hey, Dr. Gorka, you know, I know you're into cigars. I'd like to send you some to see how you like them, you know. And also see if you're interested in being a brand ambassador on the affiliate program. And here are some other big names, right? I did it. I got his email and sent it to him. Literally 20 minutes later, I asked him if he wanted to be a brand ambassador and have a promo code, get free cigars to try them. That was the email. 20 minutes later, I get an email back from him saying, I couldn't even believe it. He said, the cost of an Instagram post is $5,000, seeing how I have 400,000 followers. I'm CCing my wife, I think her name is Kate, on this email because she handles my social media. Okay. So this is another grift. And I did not ask him about posting my cigars on his Instagram with his 400,000 followers. It's not what I asked him. I asked him if he wanted a promo code that he would end up promoting.
And he wanted free cigars.
And free cigars to try them. Right.
Hey, you want to try? I'll send you free cigars. Right. Like Rudy, yep. Judge Napolitano, yep. Like yep. Roger Stone. All people that you probably are very familiar with are love my cigars. And I'm offering you as a nice gesture because I appreciate what you do. Hey, try my cigars. And if you like them, maybe you want to be an ambassador. If you don't, tell me to fuck off. I don't care. I just want to send you some free shit. That's really all you're doing.
So I didn't respond to it. And I mentioned it to a couple other people in the, you know, with bigger names. And I said, this is what I got. This is the response. And a couple of them like, oh, he's like, he's a hardcore grifter. So there are big influencers out there with tremendous Instagram followings or social media followings that if you have a business and you go to them and say, hey, do you think you could post about my product or my this or my that? And typically they'll turn around and they'll say, yeah, I'll post it. And they'll charge you to post it. Like DC Drano does it.
Just like Fortiato Blow was like $5,000 to wrap your truck. Grab his truck.
Yeah, I'll get into that. That's right. I forgot about that. It was his trailer. I think it was 3,000 actually.
I remember these stories that you tell me, Alan, about these guys that are just fucking like,
well,
it's so ridiculous. Like I don't get it. I really don't, because what we said at the beginning of the show about sharing our information about how the message is more important than who it's coming from.
Right.
I'd be more into sharing the message than making the money. Much as I could use the money, as much he's probably way better off than I am.
Like even if I had a million followers on Instagram or a million, whatever it was, and I could help other patriots in their businesses or for whatever it is, I would just do it. I could not say I'm going to charge you $3,000 and $5,000 for an Instagram post.
I'm all about showing love, especially when it's like it has to be something that I will get behind and I will support. Like I won't just like if I don't agree with what you're doing, like I won't share it or post it. But like if it's something that stands with our values and goes with what I am all about supporting other people. Like anytime someone shares a show or does something, I try to make a point to share it. Like Alan, you do it as well. Stakes Roan does it as well. Yeah. White Catalyst. Like it's just something that I'd much rather do for free than charge anybody for any, even a dollar to do. And the message is so much more important than making money. And when that happens, you have to start questioning these people, like what their true motives are. Do they really give a shit about this country? Remember 2000 Mules, Sebastian Gorka, I would never forget. He changed his tune and the post watching all this stuff, he said, I'm going to work night and day until this is rectified. He said, like, I'm not going to. Yeah. What has Sebastian Gorka done for election integrity since he's seen it? Absolutely jack shit.
I mean,
out here charging $5,000 for an Instagram post. Go fuck yourself, you Australian piece of shit. Go fuck yourself. I don't care. I really don't fucking care. Oh, well, he might not be a guest on your show. I don't want him. I don't want him as a guest, because if he comes on my show, I'm going to pull a Justin and I'm going to fucking grill him, and I'm going to start asking him questions about his true motives and who he really is, and not about this fucking bullshit. We got Sebastian Gorka on. We got a big name on the show. No. What the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, we're out here trying to fight for the Republic. We're putting out all this content virtually for free. We're not making much money at all, if any.
That content is free.
The content is free, but like, as far as the sponsorships and ads and things like that, like, it's not like we're making, like, I can make a living off of this. It's very difficult.
Right.
And I'm working very hard to do so, but I'm not taking that route. I'm not like, I'm not going the route where, hey, I'll charge you to post on my story or on my thing. Like, I'm not going to do that. If it's a sponsor and a product, then we're talking something different. If it's a promo, like, I'm always welcome to do things like that and help and support other businesses, especially American made and American owned businesses. That's something that's really important. Especially now more than ever, because of what's going on to our economy and what they're doing to the middle class and what they're doing to small business owners, because small business owners are getting annihilated right now. And the only way that they're going to survive is if we, the people, support them. Instead of going to Amazon, instead of going to Walmart, instead of going to all these big box stores, go to the local hardware store, go to the local grocery, you know, the local mart. Do what you can to support small business. And it's very, very, very important. And this guy's out here charging $5,000 for like, I really don't care, dude. I really don't.
That's what he said. $5,000. Like, if that was your way of saying that you don't do promo codes, because a lot of them are not interested in promo codes too. Sometimes if they have shows or whatever, they're just interested in, say, monthly sponsorships. None of that.
I'm not really interested in promo codes either, Alan. I'm really not. Like, I'm really over the promo codes. I really am. We've had some great sponsors, paying sponsors on the show. We lost them because of our shadow ban, and we have our reach is so bad, and it's affecting our pockets to the point where it's affecting our pockets. We've had paid sponsorships. But most of them are promo codes, and I'm done with the promo codes because of how large our audience is, and I don't want to disrespect our audience by just putting promo codes in their face. I'd rather give them a product that, hey, this is what I all the promo codes that we have, I use, like, all of them. Use all of them. I wouldn't promote something if I didn't use it. Even our sponsors, I wouldn't promote something if I didn't use it. But it's just, I can only put so many promo codes on one show. I have, there's so many promo codes that we're not using, like the grills guy, the MMM-USA. Like, there's so many other, and that's a great product. I love that product.
You rotate them, or you can rotate them or whatever.
But it's still, you know, I don't want to, I like to, Roan gave me this technique actually from Steaks for Breakfast, because they're still on Spotify with all the great work they do, which is unbelievable to me. I got lasted 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks. And he accredits to the fact that he ran ads, like, the beginning of his show is like music and ads. Mm-hmm. And he's the AI just hears ads, and then they turn it off after 30 seconds or whatever.
Right.
And it's still running ads. So they just ignore it. And they're like, oh, this is not bad. Cool. We're good. Well, meanwhile, me and you, we're coming out blasting at the hip, and we're we're going off the rails immediately.
But still, I'm like,
The queen is dead.
The queen is dead. Ding dong.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You want to talk? I don't think, did you and I have a conversation on Martha's Vineyard at all? Or no,
we briefly touched on it. We briefly touched on Martha's Vineyard, but it's the gift that keeps on giving. That we, because it was happening. It was like, when Monday was like the day it was happening. The very next day, they're all already shipping them out. They're already shipping them out.
It was 44 hours, I believe. Something like that.
Less than 24 hours, they were already starting putting them on buses. The military came in. The president made a speech about it. All for fucking 55 people. 55 migrants died in a semi truck, an 18 wheeler.
They don't care about that.
No one bats an eyelash. No one bats an eyelash. But here's the thing. Even the far left liberals and media pundits are starting to see and call out the hypocrisy and make fun of the Democrats. You know who Charlemagne the God is, you old fuck?
No.
See, I didn't think so. He's on a radio show in the morning, the Breakfast Club on Power 105.
Yes, I know who he is. Okay. Yeah, he's the one who asked Kamala Harris who was really in charge and shit like that. Yeah, I know who he is. I don't know his name. Yeah.
Listen to what he says.
For months, Republican governors have sent busloads of illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities like New York, D.C., and Chicago with the message of, if you like them so much, they're yours. Okay. Well, just in time for Hispanic Heritage Month, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis upped the game by sending two planefuls of immigrants to the East Coast elite's favorite vacation island, Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. I personally think it's genius. I wish that governors like Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott would give Democratic governors and mayors more of a heads up, because then that would expose the hypocrisy of the Democrats, which is they don't want immigrants here either.
No, they don't. They want them to go to places that doesn't affect their everyday life. That doesn't. They don't see them. They don't see them coming up. They don't interact with their children. They don't want that. And they saw 50 people come in. 50. How many tens of thousands are pouring into Florida, Arizona, Texas, and then being shipped all over the country? Tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands and millions, all over the country. Ron DeSantis sends two planefuls, 50 people. And 50 I saw this meme video the other day. Did you ever see the movie Jaws?
Yeah, I actually –
I know you got a lot of problems.
I posted that.
Oh, you did? I saw it today.
One, I've got some chest parking in front of the house. I can't get out of the office. And then – truck next to the office.
Red song is a simple thing to take care of.
Honey, would you come here a minute, please?
They are great. Not happy. It's amazing.
This it's funny because I think those beach scenes from the movie were actually filmed on Martha's Vineyard, I believe.
Were they really?
I think it was based on a New Jersey shark.
It was based on a New Jersey shark.
Yeah, I think
it was
so.
A bull shark,
so,
actually.
I think I posted that yesterday. I might have posted that on my Facebook page. It's gotten like over 40,000 views.
Dude, I saw that this afternoon. I was crying. I was crying. This is great. Like, this is why I said at the beginning of the show, Martha's Vineyard is the gift that keeps on giving. Like, the memes have been absolutely amazing.
And what's great was they were claiming a housing crisis, and they are literally tons of empty summer rentals there and just homes just sitting vacant.
Was it you
and
that we talked about the fact that they're eating each other alive in their Facebook group?
So the
beach houses. Why aren't you letting them stay at your house, Susan? Like,
literally, the Karens on Martha's Vineyard were eating each other up on like the Facebook group pages, going, "Well, you have two summer rentals, and no one's renting them." Like, diming them out publicly on the page, like, "Your houses are empty. Oh, and your house is empty. Why is nobody stepping up and housing in these
rentals?" Barry Satoro, can you please let people in? Big Mike. I said this earlier, but Big Mike is not aging well. Hold on.
I try not to look at him that much.
Not big aging Mike. Well at
they
all.
They got their big mansion on
Martha's Vineyard.
They stayed quiet, right? I haven't heard a peep out of them. In reference to Martha's Vineyard, have they made any statements?
They built the cage. He's the one who built the cages that everybody's like. The Democrats are starting to figure that out. The Democrats are starting to figure out.
But I get that. But did they say anything about this Martha's Vineyard debacle? I didn't see anything on it.
I don't think so. I don't think that they said a damn thing about.
Someone was attacking me over on my Facebook page this weekend and said. It made no sense at all. This guy was a complete moron. On his profile picture, he actually says, "I have a fat wife." Like, I couldn't even get this guy. But he said, he said, Barack Obama was the best president ever. I would rather pay for these migrants than Republicans on their welfare ass. And I'm like, it's funny. I don't know many Republicans on welfare.
You gotta be fair.
you go down to like down south, there's a lot of really poor white people down
That's
south.
That's probably what he was talking about.
Probably what he's referencing. you have to think about it and thinking about those people that are like Confederate flag and they have nothing. And there's people up in north that are like that as well. There's people all over the place. I don't want to segregate the South to say that they're the only place that has poor.
No.
At all.
No.
It's all over the place. But I really think that they have a very big misconception. And you look at, I actually, it's so funny that that this gets brought up because I was watching a video by Patrick Bet David.
Oh right? Yeah. I can't stand.
I'm a big fan. I love him. Love him.
I think he's the biggest, one of the biggest fucking grifters of all time.
And I really like his interviews. Like he does a good job, Brett, because I'm a big fan of Mob Lore, and he brings Michael Frances on and Sammy the Bull Gravano, and he brings on like a lot of really good interviews. He has the Hodge twins coming on today.
He just did the thing with Jordan Peterson, the live interview.
Yeah, he does really good
Roger Stone was just on his show not too long ago, maybe a couple months ago.
So Roger Stone was on his show. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm a big fan of him, and he put out this video about, he's like, yo, Detroit in the 50s was the richest city in the world.
Car manufacturing, man.
The richest city in the world in the 50s.
And that was now the fucking boom of the car manufacturer.
Now it's completely decimated.
I have I have a friend that's a real estate developer, and he goes. He's gone a few times. I don't know if he keeps doing it. He's bought entire blocks of houses in Detroit, and have fixed them up. And either made them as a government subsidized housing, you know, rent as rentals, or I think some of them he sold and stuff like that. But literally, you can go there and buy, they'll sell them in like an entire lot of a whole block of houses. Mm-hmm. You could just go and buy. If Democrat multimillionaires or Democrat billionaires cared so much about the revitalization of communities, of homeless or things like that. I'll even put Republican millionaires either. Why aren't they going to Detroit and pooling their money together and buying all these houses on residential streets?
Why don't they use Detroit as a shining example of shipping jobs and industries out of cities and what it does to American people? Cities, because Detroit was the richest city in the world. Like, people are alive today that were alive when Detroit was the richest city in the world. Not many, but there's still people alive. Like, my mother was born in 58.
It was the car hub of the country, you know.
Absolutely. It's really sad to see what's going on. And they're, you know, Baltimore, this, like the show The Wire, one of my favorite shows of all time. Mm. You see Baltimore, this is, you know, almost 20 years ago when The Wire, 2002.
And it's worse. The crime is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's worse now. And it's been run by Democrats forever. Even in the show, you see the new, they're all Democrat. They're like the new Democrat leader, the new Democrat captain. It was ridiculous. So, Alan, I have a request in the show, and they actually sent a little donation. So, shout out to Alan, your good friend who spells with 2 L. He sent us a little donation on the show and asked us to talk about the upcoming Civil War. And
what did Kathy Griffin say? If you vote Democrat, you don't want a Civil War. If you vote Republican, you want a Civil War. I don't want a Civil War, but.
No, we don't want a civil war. This is not something that we want. And this is something that the media is pushing heavily. This is something that the left is leaning on, and the narrative is pushing that way. And anybody that's coming out and saying that we want civil war, immediately run away from them, because that's not what we want at all. We want to do this the peaceful way. And I think it's happening. There's so much to look forward to. Danchenko literally came out and confirmed that he's been paid by the FBI for years.
Yeah.
Years.
So you know, there's a lot going on with this, and there's a lot going on to look forward to coming up in the future. I think with the red wave and we get people with subpoena power, we can start to make some moves. And Donald Trump is leaving us lots and lots of clues. If you follow Q like I do, I know, Alan, you're not an avid Q follower, but he's literally taunting us with those songs that are written by Richard Feelgood. Like, it's some random fucking guy. Like, it's not like a song that like people are just, you have to dig for that. You have to literally like dig for that kind of music. And you're not just finding that by accident. I'm sorry. You're not. And he's taunting us with it. And then as soon as he does that speech with that song going on his rallies, he immediately plays the song, Hold On, I'm Coming. Hold On, I'm Coming. Every single time. He's taunting us. Go ahead.
No. I was going to finish your thought, because I want to go back to this narrative of the Civil War.
So that's what I'm circling back to. I'm bringing it back to it. So I don't think, Jen Psaki style, I don't think there's going to be a civil war. I think the left, that's their last hope. That's the last thing that they have left. It's the only option for them to survive, because they desperately need to hold on control, and they want us divided and they want us hating each other. But you actually go out into real life, into the real world, the division is not there. You talk to regular people. I get more compliments about the Patriot gear that I wear than I do. I get bad hate. People agree, are feeling the same thing that we're all feeling. This country is hurting, and we're uniting. I truly believe it. I don't think the division tactics are working like they used to.
Agreed. And I got it. So look at this perspective. And I know. Some people aren't gonna agree. Civil war right now today, I believe, is a buzzword used by both sides. The Democrats, I believe, use the term civil war in pushing the narrative of, look at these evil Republicans, these evil MAGA Republicans, these evil MAGA extremists. They want civil war because they want an authoritarian government. They're fascists. They want Donald Trump to be a dictator. They want to kill LGBTQ people. They want to assault anyone who's a liberal. They want to see them dead, the whole thing, January 6th, blah, 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 jerk me off some more. And we know, as rational thinking Republicans or conservatives, or even
human beings, like, it's not just
or rational thinking humans that love the Constitution, love freedom, we know that we don't want violence in the street. We know that we don't want a civil war. No. Unfortunately, there are extremists that I would say on the right that would love a civil war, and people talk about it, and that's fine. You can talk about whatever you want.
Yep.
I obviously don't want that. Nope. But
it'd be the worst possible situation if we had a civil war.
But I also believe, because it wouldn't last long. And
it wouldn't last long, Alan. It's not like it was in the 1800s where it would take months for a foreign nation to get over here and form an attack, because our one advantage against an attack on our soil is the fact that we're so heavily armed and we can defend ourselves. And if we're fighting each other, that gives them the opportunity to come in and start taking advantage of that rather than us fighting against them. So it puts us in so many different scenarios, and it's Americans killing Americans. Like, think of how many of your friends and family cut you off because of your political views, and you don't have any ill will towards them. You don't. You think you might think that they're idiots. You might think that they should wake up, but you don't fucking hate them, and you don't want them to die. Like, I don't feel that way about anybody that disagrees with me. And then all of a sudden this war becomes something kinetic, and now I'm sitting there and I'm choosing freedom and America over everything else. And if you want to choose the other side, that sucks. Right. That sucks. That's not something that I want to do, and it's not something that anybody should want to do. As much as these people suck so much, and they're truly evil. But I think that these evil people are going to face justice. I really do. I think there's so much to look forward to. And I think we're going to get more and more information coming out. I think there's going to be a lot of change in the not so distant future. It may take 1 or 2, 3, 4, 5 years, but in our lifetime, there is going to be a shift in everything that's going on in this country and in the world, in my opinion. I truly believe this with every fiber of my body, based on all the research that I've done and everything that I see happening. It's easy to look at the negative. It's easy to feel really shitty about what's going on and be suffering, because so many are. I get it. And this is why we started our show Winning Wednesdays with Garrett, just to have a more of a positive outlook on life, and instead of focusing on the suck and everything that's going on and beating the average American down. So many people are hurting. And what's going to happen if there's a food shortage? What's going to happen if the electricity goes out, like in California, but across the country? You know, what's going to happen if those scenarios do play out, which are clearly in the realm of possibility, especially when you have the media talking about blackouts and solar flares and all of these things happen, the internet going down? Like, what is going to happen? You have to really think about it.
There are parts in this country where if the wind blows a certain way, the power's out. You know, it's wild. All I could say is just people just need to look at the big picture and realize that Republican, Democrat, we're Americans. And yes, there are people that you're never going to change their minds. They're just that they're the way they are on both sides, which whatever. But as far as, you know, the whole violence in the streets, that's not.
I think they're setting up Americans like they did in. They're trying to reset up January 6th. I really do think that they're trying to pull that narrative so that they can use that we're violent extremists, that we're domestic terrorists. Like, this is something that they desperately want, because they need that narrative to clog up the news stations. They need to have a big bad boogeyman inside the United States. This is what they do across other countries when they do regime changes. They do it all the fucking time. This is nothing new.
It's such a joke. Like, wherever have you heard of one governor from one state taunting and calling out another governor from another state and challenging them to a debate? Gavin Newsom did this.
What did Gavin Newsom do? I saw Ron DeSantis saying that Gavin Newsom's hair gel might be affecting his brain function.
Because Gavin Newsom challenged him, DeSantis, to a debate. Meanwhile,
No, he didn't. Yes, he did. I hope that happens. I pray. It's not gonna happen.
I mean, first of all, there's
what?
First of all, it's useless. You would think that they were both running for president, where Gavin Newsom is completely attempting to destroy. Not Gavin Newsom in the Florida way of life. I believe even Gavin Newsom, I saw something last week or over the weekend, that he has paid money. Gavin Newsom paid money for billboards in Florida.
I wouldn't be spying. He's worth a lot of fucking money.
Right. It's just the nonsense. This is what we're... people are focusing on, like Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis challenging Ron DeSantis to a debate. What?
It would be amazing to watch.
I'd rather see a celebrity death match between the two of them, to be honest.
Yeah, celebrity boxing fight, like get on the Jake Paul Anderson Silva undercard. That would be amazing. Starch Gavin Newsom,
but
vegan cuck.
Again, Gavin Newsom's probably going to run for president. As a obviously for the Democrat nomination. Ron DeSantis, I don't think is going to.
No.
I think Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, I think he is poising himself for a 2024 run. There was some buzz about that, and he's been doing some private events, like private fundraiser dinners and stuff recently, and making appearances. He did one recently in the city in New York. And I think you're going to see him run. That'll be interesting. But
I think it's going to be very interesting come 2024 on who's running and who's. But I think that's what's happening right now. We're seeing who's truly on Trump's side, because the people that are getting raided, getting their devices taken from them, they're getting pressure. Like, this is very dictatorship style. And they're probably being pressured and threatened with other legal action, and they're trying to get them to speak. And we're going to find out who's really fighting to save the Republican who's just scared of the big bad establishment and is going to bend the knee and start speaking. Like, I guarantee someone that got raided is going to write a book about their involvement and make a fuck ton of money off of it, and they're gonna say something to the newspaper totally with no evidence to back it, totally fabricated, like they always do, and they're gonna sell a book and write a book about it, and it's gonna be one of these people that was raided because they crumbled, and whether they were working with the establishment the entire time as a sleeper or whether they were just bullied and didn't want to get bothered. And they're a snitch.
Yeah.
You know, both.
Or what they can, the goal for any type of law enforcement and investigation, if they have a group of people that they're looking at, is to see who is the weakest link. And by that is going through their past to see what can we have as leverage? Oh, this person really screwed up on filing their taxes. Oh, let's hold that against them. Or this one back in whatever, you know, we could really screw with these people in order to get somebody to talk. I mean, obviously intimidation tactics are common, but mm-hmm. I think a lot of these people are immune to it because I think a lot of these people don't have anything that they can do that with. But
no, because of what's going on with the grandmaster of the Trump indictment, they can't do anything until after the midterms because they set a date. But you can see they know that this is going to backfire against them. They know it won't work. And Donald Trump is calling it out right to their face. Did you see what he said on that show?
We had an amazing, four years.
You know the old saying, a prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich if they want to. I'm just asking, if you're a prosecutor and they indict you, would that deter you from running for president again?
I don't think the people of the United States would stand for it. And as you know, if a thing like that happened, I would have no prohibition against running. You know that. You've already.
I do. And that's what I want people to understand. That would not take you out of the arena.
It would not. But I think if it happened, I think you'd have problems in this country, the likes of which perhaps we've never seen before. I don't think the people of the United States would stand for it.
What kind of problems, Mr. President?
I think they'd have big problems.
Big problems.
I just don't think they'd stand for it. They will not sit still and stand for this ultimate of hoaxes. We went through phony impeachments. We went through phony Mueller reports that came out with no collusion. We came everything that they've done to try and stop progress. And on top of that, I did more than virtually any. You take a look with the biggest tax cuts, with the rebuilding of our military, with all of the things we've done. I don't think the people of this country would stand for it, especially since they know I'm totally innocent.
You know.
Now you're all in big, big trouble.
So they took that and, of course, spun it. Yep. Especially the Young Turks did it, and a few others.
Sure.
That Donald Trump is threatening violence if he gets prosecuted.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Based off him saying people wouldn't stand for it and there would be big problems.
That's exactly what they're doing. This is we knew that was going to happen. And this is what we're talking about when they're saying the media is trying to push the civil war, the violence narrative. They're trying, like, I truly believe that there's going to be a day that Donald Trump is arrested. I think it's going to be a perp walk. Like, they're going to do it like they did Steve Bannon. And
I don't think it's going to be a perp walk. I think he's going to be indicted and he'll go for his 30-second arraignment. I think
it's all optics. I really do. I think it's all optics, Alan. I think they want the shot. That, you know, that meme that goes around with Donald Trump and John Durham's head and Bell, and they're walking out like Barry and Hillary, and they're all in the handcuffs. It's a great fucking meme. And I think that they want that kind of.
Of course they want it. They want it, but they're going to have specific. They're going to have specific orders, and it would be. It would blow up, and they know, just like they admitted that Mar-a-Lago, the raid blew up in their face. They know that a perp walk would blow up in their face. He'll get an indictment, and he'll get summoned. He'll go with his attorneys and go and sit at his 30-second arraignment, and then the trial will begin. Maybe. Oh,
I agree that that's going to happen, but I think that they're going to go more for optics. They, because they know that they're not going to win any trial. Like even the guy says,
well, it's all going to be for optics, of course. I mean, that's they want the indictment, but
I think, you know, I think the perp walk is what they really want. Just like
they're not going to get it. They're not going to get a perp walk.
Just like they raided Roger Stone at fucking 6 in the morning.
But Roger Stone wasn't Donald Trump,
and CNN was there before the FBI was. Like,
yeah, it's because they were tipped off by
I know Roger Stone is not Donald Trump, but he's still a very high profile political figure.
Yeah.
And the fact that even happened is ridiculous. And the fact that this is happening to Donald Trump, I wouldn't put anything past these crazy people. I really wouldn't. They don't care. All they care about is the optics, the way that they could spin the narrative and spin it to the American people. Because guess what? People are going to need to, if Donald Trump gets raided and he's getting perped walked and it's going to be all over the mainstream media, guess what? They're going to get tons of ratings, which they haven't gotten fucking forever. They're dying to get Donald Trump in the news because they have no ratings. Nobody is watching. It was the ratings generator.
But the bottom line is they know the powers that be on the left know that if that happens, it will blow up in their face, just like they didn't anticipate Mar-a-Lago blowing up like it did. It'll blow up in their face.
They did not think it was going to go this way. They thought they had a lot more support. And I think that it's showing how wrong that they actually are and how off base that they actually are. And people are being deprogrammed. They really are. It's happening right in front of our eyes. You know, we've been programmed since we were little kids, Alan, about everything. And you have to be deprogrammed to see through the programming. And it's happening right in front of our eyes. So many people are waking up on a daily basis. Like I'm talking to my neighbor about this stuff. Like it's so wild to see how many people are starting to understand the corruption and starting to understand that things are going, aren't supposed to be going this way. And it should be better. And they're blaming these corrupt establishments. They're blaming they're like, why is the FBI doing this? Why is Hunter Biden walking free? Like, it's so polarized. Like, if it was some small little like tax evasion with Hunter Biden, you can maybe say, oh, it's because it's tax evasion. Donald Trump is hiding classified information, even though Bill Clinton and Obama still have classified information that they still have yet to turn over from their presidencies. That's a whole nother story. But
right. They'd
be able to spin that narrative. Hunter Biden is literally doing crack cocaine and banging Russian whores and sending 10% to the big guy and working with these Ukraine oil companies and doing all these shady business deals behind the scenes. And he's walking free and totally fine, yet they're raiding Barron Trump's room. They're going through his shit. It makes no fucking sense. So people are seeing this. They're like, wait. How come Hunter Biden is not being raided and gone through his shit after all the things that we know are real now, like 100% real? Did you see what Senator Ron Johnson did about the Hunter Biden laptop and called out his colleagues? It was fucking epic. Did you see this?
No.
The day or two after Senator Grassley and I issued our report, based on U.S. documents, interviews with U.S. persons, our now committee chairman, who's then committee ranking member, issued a press release, said Peter's Wyden responds to a Republican effort to amplify Russian disinformation. He said, I generated a partisan political report that is rooted in Russian disinformation. Mr. Chairman, do you want to retract that false allegation now? Now that we know that the Hunter Biden laptop is accurate, that there has not been one scintilla of information provided in Senator Grassley's and my report that has ever been refuted. It was 100% accurate. And yet you, as ranking member of the committee, accused me repeatedly of soliciting and disseminating Russian disinformation. Do you want to retract your false allegation here that you issued in your press release on September 23rd?
No, let's just focus on what we're trying to...
Well, I'm focusing on this because this is exactly the type of harm we can do to our political process when you have these big tech companies engaging in political debate, censoring one side of the political spectrum and amplifying the false allegations of another side.
Right.
It's amazing to see. Like, they're like, they got the receipts.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, remember when you said this and repeatedly accused me of peddling disinformation? Well, suck it, you piece of shit. Suck it.
So I want to interrupt a regular in a regular in my chat, Diane, she actually put two things, but apparently a Democrat sheriff in Texas is opening a criminal investigation into Governor Ron DeSantis's operation to fly roughly 50 Venezuelan migrants from Texas to Martha's Vineyard last week.
Did you see his response?
Yes. So he responded with a screenshot of, like, he didn't give a statement.
No, he didn't give a statement. I have the statement. It might have been.
I don't know if we're talking about the same story.
Well, because he's calling out all these people for how they want to be sanctuary cities and how.
No. This is literally, just a sheriff in Texas. They requested a comment. This broke at 7:30 p.m. Actually, so it might be their time, but I'm in New York. But they sent the screenshot just with this. With a screenshot of a story that this sheriff was quoted saying Biden isn't handling the border crisis properly. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What matters is that this Democrat sheriff in Texas is now looking to, for optics, political optics. He's a Democrat.
Always is.
This is great for all the mainstream news media outlets to carry, that a sheriff is opening up a criminal investigation against Ron DeSantis. Hold on, give me one second here. Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar announced at a news conference Monday that his office is investigating whether the migrants were the victims of a crime, saying they were lured under false pretenses. Many migrants said they agreed to fly from San Antonio to the Massachusetts Island after being promised jobs, but there was no work waiting. I believe people need to be held accountable for it to the extent possible, Salazar said. At this point, I am not able to definitively say here's the statute that they broke, either federal, state, or local, but what I can tell you is it's wrong just from a human rights perspective. DeSantis took responsibility for the two charter flights, saying they were part of a state program to relocate migrants from Florida, although the group of Venezuelans was in San Antonio. Salazar, who is a Democrat, called the flights little more than a video op, but he didn't name DeSantis in that. So, again, just more political nonsense. Here you go. Look at me.
DeSantis was calling all these cucks out. And Jolly Roger, we talked about that last week, about the Illinois passing a bill that is like straight. It was on Friday we talked about it, where they can.
Yeah, the cashless bail and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, so go check out that episode. But this is what Ron DeSantis was saying about these people who are now filing charges, these Democrats and Martha's Vineyard and other governors and Nancy Pelosi. And everybody is saying what he's doing is evil and human trafficking and this, that, and the other. Listen to what he responded.
And all those people in D.C. and New York were beating their chests when Trump was president, saying they were so proud to be sanctuary jurisdictions, saying how bad it was to have a secure border. The minute even a small fraction of what those border towns deal with every day is brought to their front door, they all of a sudden go berserk, and they're so upset that this is happening. And it just shows you, you know, their virtue signaling is a fraud. Okay, they are supporting policies that are just frankly indefensible. It is not defensible for a superpower to not have any control over the territory of its country, over the borders of its country. And he inherited a situation where you didn't have this happening. And yes, we needed to build the wall. There was more that we needed to do. He reversed the Trump policies, knowing what would end up happening. And you know, one of the reasons why we want to transport, because we obviously, it's expensive if people are coming here. It taxes social services and all these other things. And so if we can do in a sanctuary, well, then the chance that they come to Florida goes down dramatically. But it is also the case that, you know, every community in America should be sharing in the burdens. It shouldn't all fall on a handful of red states. And so they're now doing it. Now they have to decide, okay, this is a policy you've supported to have an open border. you don't like it as much. When you get just a small amount compared to what these folks have dealt with in Texas and in other states, and of course, we are just at one state that everybody wants to come to. Yes, we see Americans mm-hmm. moving here in record numbers, people visiting here. We're the number one state for foreign tourism by far in 2021 for all U.S. tourism. But even people across the border, there's a lot that say they want to come to Florida. So our message is,
I wish I moved to Florida every day.
Sanctuary state. We don't have benefits or
any of that heat all year round
jurisdictions. And that would be better. Now, what would be the best is for Biden to do his damn job and secure the border.
Yeah.
That's what needs to get done.
Kamala Harris, the border is secure.
The border is secure.
What a...
We did it, Joe.
So
it's cool.
I got another thing sent to me in the chat from Diane again. It's an interesting story out of North Dakota. Man admits to killing teen after political dispute in Foster County in North Dakota. Apparently, this was on Sunday morning. Forza County deputies were called to a fatal hit and run that happened in an alleyway near Johnson Street and Jones Avenue in McHenry, North Dakota. 41-year-old Shannon Brandt called 911 to report that he had hit a pedestrian because he was threatening him. Brandt told state radio that the pedestrian was part of a Republican extremist group and that he was afraid they were coming to get him. The pedestrian has been identified in a GoFundMe page as 18-year-old Kaylor Ellingson. After visiting the scene where the incident happened, deputies went to Brandt's house in Glenfield, North Dakota, which is about 12 minutes from the crash scene. Brandt admitted to consuming alcohol before the incident and stated he hit Ellingson with his car because he had a political argument with him. Brandt also admitted to deputies that he initially left the crash scene, then returned a call 911. So, here you go. So now you have to be careful, people, because if people view you as a Republican extremist. Now, this article that I'm seeing that was just sent in my chat is from the Valley News Live, which is a North Dakota
local outlet.
I'm wondering if this now is going to be national news. I haven't Googled it, but
I doubt it. I'll Google
now,
it. Right
now, imagine it's put in. Just type in the name
North Dakota.
Shannon Shannon Brandt Brandt. That's the 41-year-old that ran this kid over, and see if it pops on any mainstream media outlets. Because
Inform KYFIYR no mainstream media. Go for sports. Nope.
Hold on. Hit and run. Wait. Okay. Very, very limited. And nothing.
There's nothing.
There's nothing on mainstream media. Only local papers hit this. Now,
well, you go,
everybody.
Yep. Only local. I'm looking at the Valley News Live right now.
Diane, thanks for sending this to me. You're always great. So now, if this was a Democrat who was run over by a Republican after a argument, and that Republican said, "Oh well, he was a Democrat extremist." This would be all over CNN, NBC, ABC, everywhere you can imagine. This would be everywhere saying, look, Republicans are running over Democrats in the street over their political ideologies.
Everywhere. Well, just like the Wisconsin Christmas parade, it disappeared really quickly. Did you hear about the story that happened in San Diego where the illegal immigrant cut some woman's head off in front of her daughter and her son with a samurai sword in the middle of the fucking street?
Was that? I don't think that was San Diego. I think that was like in the middle, like that was like Silicon Valley, like in almost like Beverly Hills.
I think it was San Diego.
Really?
I think it was San Diego. Yeah. Some illegal immigrant. Samurai sword killing. Let's see what comes up. Man charged with killing his child's mother with sword
San Diego.
San Diego.
Yep. Samurai sword killing admitted by Pine Valley neighbor. Yep.
Right, but you know, and that's and of course, it's not going to be on mainstream. If it's on mainstream media, it's just going to be about the killing, not about his illegal immigrant status. But now if
cut off her head, chopped her head off, decapitated.
I mean, maybe the meatloaf wasn't done right. It was, I don't know. That's horrible. But crimes against Republicans, violent assault, whatever it is, will not make the mainstream media. But God forbid there's an argument that's politically driven and a Republican happens to get into a fight and a Democrat is hurt. That will be on every station.
Every 24/7. It's really odd to me. And I always go back because I don't know if you've ever read Art of the Deal, Alan. But I always go back to that book and check it out because Donald Trump.
This one?
Yep, that one.
I not only read it.
Oh yeah, you fucking cocksucker! I hate you. I'm gonna come to your house and beat you up for it.
But it's signed in gold.
Yeah, fucking piece of shit. I'll rob you for your book. So you read that book and you see how he talks about the ice rink and how he talks about multiple government projects, the Hyatt.
Oh yeah.
And how he literally blows up all of what they're doing and how it takes a really long time and he comes in and gets it done. The constant saying in the book was under budget and before deadline.
Yeah.
Was constantly something that he said, under budget and before deadline, always. And he always got it done. And then you see the border wall situation and he figured out ways to get the funding and get it done. But he left like a very small chunk left, not a lot in comparison to how much he had gotten done. And I have a hard time believing, knowing the man Donald Trump is and how he gets things done, left the border open, or just left it open because he couldn't finish it. I really do. The way he's been as a builder, looking at his resume.
And it's a lot different, though. It's not government building.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But I also go back to the other things that I talk about constantly about how we had to see these things unfold. Hindsight's 2020. And he, like Afghanistan, he could have pulled our troops out before he left office if he wanted to. He could have finished the border. Now the American people are seeing the policies that actually affect our country. And this is something that's waking people up at record numbers. The Martha's Vineyard thing is waking people up. Like even the most staunch liberals are like arguing with each other. Like the Karens are going at each other. And it's amazing to see. So unfortunately, I think it had to be this way to show the American public. We can't tell them. Like we've been telling people that the border is a disaster for decades. Like all these crazy people. Donald Trump has been MS-13. They misquote him all the time to say that he says all Mexicans are rapists and murderers. Like he's talking about MS-13. They do this all of the time. So now people see it firsthand. They're like, holy shit, this is really bad. Like we need to close up. We need to fix this. Mm-hmm. And these are all things that had to be seen by the American public, unfortunately. Because I've been telling people for decades, dude, how corrupt the elections are, how corrupt our government. No one believes you. Now they see it. They're like, wait a second. Holy shit, James, you're right. But nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. And I love hearing that. Okay, cool. At least you see it. I'm glad that you see it. Because if on the off chance that something does happen, you're not going to be flipping out, being pissed off. You're going to be excited like, holy shit, we did it. Yeah. And you're going to probably jump on the bandwagon saying, I knew it was happening the whole time. I never doubted it, guys.
Nope. I will be one of the people that says I'm very surprised something happened.
Well, just like you were one of the people saying that I'm very surprised that this is happening in this country, Alan. And I really think that these people are going to face justice and it's going to be exposed. And it's the wheels of justice turn very slowly and things are happening very, very slowly. And for me personally, I would love for it to be sped up 100%, 1,000%. I would love for things to happen right now. But we always go back to it. If they arrested everybody today, where are they getting tried? Can't go to D.C.?
That's where they're gonna go.
Well, you have to allow. If they uncover treasonous activity to the American public, those things can change. Those things can, legally can change by the rule of law. That can change. So it's not something that's out of the realm of possibility because of how the law is written. So
I guess it all depends on who's holding the magic stick.
Without a doubt, Alan, I 100% agree. But I do think that it's going to happen in our lifetime. I really do. There's so much hope, and I've gone through so much misery. And I literally told my father, I tell the story all the time. And when I was 19, I told my father I was going to bail and go to Costa Rica and live off the land and like just chill and surf every day. Because I don't want to be here where they're going to force vaccinate us and put us in the FEMA camps. It's disgusting. And they're eating themselves alive. Like even CSNBC is calling out the inflation. There's a news station that's talking about the organ paid, the people that are getting organ transplants that got vaccinated, their bodies are rejecting the organ transplants. Even if the blood types match, it's rejecting it.
How about the young people that are dying and they're doing autopsies and they're finding these weird coagulated clots that are all fucking weird.
You know, Alan, it's very, very wild what's going on.
That sudden death syndrome's a bitch when you just suddenly die at 30 years old.
Well, do you see the guy? So we're gonna end with this. Because people are waking up at record numbers, even the vax people. I don't know if you saw this, and this is only a portion of the clip. He did a whole video about it, and I couldn't find the whole video. I found the portion, but this is really cool to see. And as much as he probably flipped out on the unvaxxed, he's starting to understand that he was wrong, and I give him a lot of credit for coming out and apologizing. So
to all the unvaxxed, I'm going to start the train and say, I'm sorry.
All right, I'm going to try and do this without
crying.
So
he did that whole video apologizing, and this is someone's reaction. And he's watching the reaction.
I would just like to say thank you, sir, for your apology. Through all of this bullshit with COVID, I've lost friends of over a decade. Family has chosen to stop speaking to me. My mother couldn't be present for the birth of my daughter. And for someone who doesn't get apologies very often, this means a lot. And I probably won't hear an apology from the people who, quite frankly, I think owe me one. So, thank you. Thank you very much.
And it's really cool to see.
I'm confused.
So
he got jabbed.
He got, and he was very critical. He was very
of the unjabbed.
Yeah, he was like, okay, you need to get vaccinated. He was trying to force people to get vaccinated, and he was yelling at the people that weren't, and cut off people that didn't get vaccinated. And he realized he was wrong, and he made this really heartfelt apology. And that was her response to his apology. And there's so many Americans that are feeling that because I have no family members and friends that I've lost because of these situations. Everybody has that going on in their life. And, guess what, motherfuckers, we were right the whole entire time.
Just for the record, I think apologies are fucking stupid.
Oh, well, Alan, you're a heartless piece of shit.
First of all, nobody owes her an apology.
No one owes anybody anything. 100%. But it's the whole point. You're getting away from the point, Alan. The point is that people are waking up and there are people that are hurting and
agreed.
When they see things like that, it helps people a lot. Like small little gestures like that will help so many millions of Americans that are going through the suck. And it's really cool to see. And I give the guy a lot of respect. And I'm not saying she deserves an apology, but at the same time, it's a really cool story. And I just like to tell people all the time.
What kind of person to say a toe-to-so? You know what? A toe-to-so. A fucking a toe-to-so.
Yeah, I guess if people want to be nice to each other and apologize, it's fine. I'm not moved. It takes a lot to move me.
Bing, yeah.
Exactly. That's pretty much my attitude.
This is why we love you, Alan. You're a cold-hearted piece of shit. But we're at 5:10 already, and we're going over our time on the Patreon.
Yeah, we got to go.
So we gotta run out. So shout out to our sponsors, Kush Creams, number one topical in the game, 21 time cannabis cup award winning. Go to kushcreams.com, code WPRUSA or great 1776. The chat was wild today. It was a lot of fun. Glad everybody joined. Shout out to My Patriot Cigar. If you're a cigar smoker, go to mypatriotcigar.com. There's the chat. Go to mypatriotcigar.com and pick up yours today. Code WPRUSA for 15% off. They're unbelievable cigars. I'll have mine this week. You'll be getting my full review of all four of these nice little sticks that we see here, the Hellfire, the TNT, the Mark 48, and the Moab. Really excited to get my hands on those. Go to mypatriotcigars.com, 15% off, code WPRUSA. Serious.
And just so, hold on really quick. I got to interrupt you. I'm sorry. Really quick. I just people have to understand, like, because again, I hate advertising and stuff like that, but I these aren't just like, I'm so proud of these cigars because it took me, I smoked my first cigar at 18 years old and it took me so long to figure out how I wanted to do this. And the time came that I wanted to start a cigar company and I just didn't go out and mass produce cigars to just to sell them. Like, excuse the language out there for the people that get offended, but I am a cigar cunt. Like when it comes to cigars,
if you're an avid listener of our show, you see that Alan is smoking cigars while I'm smoking weed. Like that's what we do on this show. And he's a big time cigar smoker. Yeah. And that's why I'm very excited because he's got Nick, my co-host, is a big on our Tuesday show, is a big cigar smoker as well. So I'm excited for him to try some as well. He goes to a cigar club all the time to smoke cigars.
Make sure you give him some. He needs to smoke.
Oh, I will. I definitely will. I'm definitely going to send him some. And then they got the salon. So they'll probably just put stuff in the salon just to advertise it right in the salon. As gift boxes for Christmas and things like that for all the mothers that come in, all the wives, because he just does girls' hair like a queer. it's Nick for you.
What's cool is those women can go to the website and buy gift cards for their husbands to buy cigars.
Absolutely. There we
go. And with every box of cigars that you buy, you get a $10 e-gift card. You get free shipping, all orders over $100.
So, and, Alan, real quick. Out of the four that you have available right now, I know you have more in store. I've been talking to you. There's more coming out. But as of right now, the four that are available, which one's your favorite? You're the big
The Mark 48 Torpedo is my favorite. It's really it's a real medium smoke. It's like, and if you're a coffee drinker like I am, I don't like drinking alcohol in my cigars. It pairs unbelievable with coffee. It's like creamy. It's unbelievable. And then my second is the Moab, which is a little bit more of a fuller flavor, but like it's a Maduro darker wrapper. That's my second. And then I'd have to go the Hellfire, which is a Maduro, but it's got a lot more flavor because it's smaller than the Moab and it has a lot more kick and spiciness to it. And then the TNT comes in fourth. And then I'm already thinking of which one might get discontinued or adding a fifth one. So I got all kinds of crazy stuff going on in my head in cigar world.
Absolutely. No, I'm excited to see what happens with My Patriot Cigars. I'm excited to get my hands on them. So go to mypatriotcigars.com. Get yours today. Can't forget Sirius CBD, the number one CBD on the planet. Go to Sirius-CBD.com. Freddie Durf comes in. This show sucks. Fuck you.
Nice. Thanks, Freddie Durf. Probably doesn't suck as good as your mommy, though.
Oh, she probably sucks. Mean
I bet she does. She sucks a good Durf. All right, we got to go.
I go to serious-cbd.com before I got rudely interrupted by this cocksucker, Freddie.
Durf, Frank Durf, Durf. Frank Durf.
Real tough guy.
Shout out to Frank Durf. We love to have you. We hope you come and join us again, Frank Durf.
We'd love to have you on the show anytime. Come and hang out with us. So go to serious-cbd.com. Get the number one CBD on the planet. Can't forget those guys. We really appreciate everybody that listened. Until next time, where we go one, we go all.
Peace.